Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
Now today we're in the second, we're just beginning the second leg of this term's sermon series theme. For the benefit of anyone visiting, or for anyone who's been asleep for the last 2 months, I'd like to invite you to turn to the person next to you and just take a moment to discuss with them what your various front lines are. You might be sitting next to someone who's like, frontline? What do you mean frontline? So take a moment to talk to, and if you're both in that situation, just talk about something else. Talk about Strictly Come Dancing. Okay, take a moment to do that. London Institute of Contemporary Christianity describes a frontline in this way. He says, by frontline, I'm primarily meaning a place or a time where we meet fairly regularly with people who don't know Jesus. So for every one of us here, there will be a number of... Oi! Oi! Major contractors Meredith knew could figure out how to stick some granite plaques to the seawall. Now, the granite plaques weren't there just for decoration. They were there to carry the words that told the history of the town, to make sense of the whole project for the townspeople and visitors alike. So the project couldn't be completed until the plaques were up. Like a torch without the batteries, like a car without petrol, like a locked house without a key, like King Richard III without a horse, the size of the problem was entirely disproportionate to the scale of the consequences. And Meredith experienced, highly confident, godly, senior project manager that she was, had run out of options. And then it occurred to her, something radical. A way to approach the problem that she had never tried for something like this, something small, something everyday, something ordinary. Meredith, highly experienced, competent, godly senior project manager that she was, decided to pray. After she prayed, call it coincidence if you like, an idea just popped into her head, the Yellow Pages. So she flipped open the tome, and there it was, sign makers. Sign makers, she thought. They know how to stick things to things. So she called the number of the sign-making business and she passed that she passed most days on her walk to the sandwich shop. Oh, yes, said the man. We know how to do that. In fact, we've recently done something similar just 15 miles down the coast. And so it came to pass that the granite plaques were fixed to the wall and the project was completed. And something else started. It is no exaggeration to say that Meredith's life has never been the same since. Not only on the front line of her day job, she realized that God, the King of the universe, the creator of all things, the redeemer of all, God cared about the little things that she did day by day. All of them. At work, at home, with her kids and her husband, at the shops, and in church. Now she finds herself praying about pretty much anything. And these things happen too often to call it coincidence. Of course, sometimes things don't happen the way that she'd like, but she's taken them to God, who is, she knows, working on a rather large regeneration project of his own. Here is a woman who hadn't realized that Father God was interested in her work. But one day, that all changed. Here is a woman who hadn't thought to invite the Lord into what she did for most of her waking life. But one day, that all changed. Here is a woman who went on to see that as well as worshiping the Lord on a Sunday in a church service, she could also honor and glorify God in her workplace through what she did professionally. Here is a woman who, a good way into her working life, twigged that whatever you do with all your heart, do it as unto the Lord. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Now, how about you? Are you aware that God is interested in your work. God is, of course, very, very interested in what you do here on a Sunday or in other church contexts when we're clustered together, as the first diagram of the dots illustrated. God is super interested in that. He's super interested in your leisure time. But are you aware that God is also passionately interested in and wanting to minister through you in your work time, in your professions? Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as unto the Lord. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving. Whatever you do, whether you work in an office, whether you're at college as a teacher or a student, in a factory, in a coffee shop, at home, and even if your current work is looking for your next job, God wants you to take him to work. There's a Hebrew word for work that's used in the Old Testament. It's avodah. And it is also used in the Old Testament to mean worship. The same word for work also used to mean worship. Have you ever thought that you can worship Father God through your work? Whatever your work is, whatever you're going to be doing this time tomorrow or on Tuesday or Wednesday, that it is possible to worship God in ways other than my preferred way, which is singing worship songs to the Lord. We can worship God through our work. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as unto the Lord. For it is the Lord Christ that you are serving. Ooh, wrong book. This is written. This is the book that we are basing the sermon series on, by the way. It's called Fruitfulness on the Frontline by Mark Green, whose picture you saw earlier. I want to read you another story from it. Keith is a decorator. He's been self-employed for 25 years, changing rooms and changing houses. For the first 10 years of his life, he certainly tried to do a good job, but he wouldn't say that he involved God in his work in any way at all. He worked to earn money. Then he had a car crash. Car flipped over. For Keith, this was a prod from God. From then on, as far as work was concerned, he had two aims: to earn money and to give money to God's work. That was it for 12 or 13 years. But then one day, after a talk in church, a light bulb went on in his head. He realized that when he's decorating, he's helping other people to lead the lives to lead the lives they need to lead. He's helping a woman look after a sick husband because she can't do the decorating. He's helping an older man who can't do the DIY anymore. He's helping a family with a disabled child to make a home that really works for them. He's serving God by serving people. He's not really doing anything different in his actual work, but his mindset has totally changed. I'm not doing it for the money anymore. I'm not doing it to give money to the church. I'm doing it for God. That's my service. And it has totally transformed my life. Where do you work? And what would it be like for you to go in with the mindset that your work is not just about earning money or earning money to give to good causes like this chap Keith, but to go in with the mindset that actually, what God has got me to do, what you mentioned to someone earlier, as well, in my context, in my situation, this is what I would consider my work to be. For you to do that as worship, as avodah, worship to God. Now we're going to pray in a little bit. In fact, we're going to pray quite shortly. But before we do that, I just want to chip in a couple of things. If, like Meredith and Keith, you are in the privileged situation that you enjoy your work, then you might make the mistake of thinking, actually, it's far easier to glorify God, to worship God through my work because I enjoy it. But if you don't enjoy your work, well, that's going to be really hard to glorify God. But is that right? Can a Christian glorify God as easily in an occupation that they dislike? Well, let's go back to the Bible. What was the profession of the people Paul was writing to when he wrote Colossians 3:23? Who was he writing to? Slaves. Do you think they enjoyed their work? Maybe they had a benevolent master, and maybe their master who's become a Christian and Paul is writing to, maybe their work environment got better. Maybe they did enjoy their job. There were those slaves who did enjoy their work, and when the time came for them to be set free, they chose to remain with their masters. I've spoken about that situation before from this platform. But by and large, Paul is writing to people for whom their work would not have been a pleasure. Their work would have been hard toil. He's writing to slaves. I spent a year, it's not a long time in the big picture of things, but to me, that was probably the longest year of my life. I spent a year in a job that I hated. I absolutely hated it. I was stuck doing something that I wasn't good at, that I didn't want to do, that I hadn't actually agreed to do, but once I'd started, things really changed. And meanwhile, people on my right and my left were all getting the opportunities to do the things that I really wanted to do, and I was stuck doing something that I really didn't want to do. And during that year, I got hold of this Bible verse, Colossians 3:23. And I worked as unto the Lord. And I think it was one of the times that God has been most glorified in my work, in a job that I really struggled with and really hated. So let's not make the mistake of thinking, this stuff is only for people who really enjoy their work. We can worship the Lord and glorify God in any work context if we choose to, and if we invite the Spirit to empower us, which is one of the things we're going to do shortly. It's interesting to know that the Hebrew word that I just told you about, avodah, it's the word for work that is used to describe the craftsman who got the honor and the privilege of building the temple ornaments. And it is also the word used when the Hebrew slaves had to build bricks without straw. Same word, avodah, work, worship. You get it? If you're unhappy in your work, like the slaves of Colossae or other slaves, then the Lord says to you, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving. It's the first little extra thing I want to lob in. The second little thing I want to lob in at this stage before we turn to prayer is this. If you are in a job that you currently hate, my pastor's advice to you is try to move jobs. Now, it seems obvious, but you wouldn't believe the number of people I speak to again and again and again who are in work that destroys their soul, and they're doing it, they're continuing it for all the wrong reasons. Number one reason, they're doing it for the money. Money is a poor, I'm not saying it's not important, but money and the things that money can provide for you are a poor motivation for work. Fear of stopping, fear of other people's expectations. I don't like this job, but I like doing this job because it makes me look good, or it's what my father always wanted. Or it's what my other relatives expect of me. That's a poor motivation to be stuck in a job that you don't like. Or sometimes just practically, it's just the sheer inconvenience. I think, I've been doing it for so long, or I couldn't imagine a big change. And what I believe the Lord might be saying to some this morning is if you are in a job that you hate, look to move jobs. And don't let the poor motivations of money and of fear and other people's expectations and inconvenience stand in the way. You might not be able to change jobs like that, but begin to look and begin to pray and begin to ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that I am good at, and what is it that I enjoy doing, And where out there is a job that has lots of that in it? Regardless of the pay, regardless of what other people think about it, let's try and get ourselves, through God's grace, or begin to get ourselves into jobs that we know we enjoy, jobs we know we are good at. And let's not be motivated by money and other people's expectations. Just my little pastoral lob-in. I hope by now you've got the gist from today and generally through this sermon series that the Lord is saying to us that he wants to be glorified through us on our various front lines. Here this morning, I want us to take in a little while the opportunity for us to commit to God our work and our workplaces. Like Meredith and Keith, you can glorify God through your work in the way that you fulfill your role. You can also bring glory to God in the other bits of time that you have at work. Emily, as far as she knew, was the only Christian in the New York advertising agency where she worked. She was a small, quiet, rather mouse-like woman in her 20s. And one day she found herself in the office kitchen at the beginning of the day. She'd walked in, not even taken off her coat, and was making for herself a cup of coffee, when in stormed this wonderfully dressed, power-dressed, exceptionally sculpted woman in a terrible mood. And Emily looks at her slightly in fear and awe, and she could see that steam was coming out of this woman's ears. She was obviously having a bad start to the day, bad start to the week. And so Emily dared to ask her, Christian that she was, are you all right? Oh, I'm not all right, said this woman. Nobody listens to me around here. Nobody cares what I like. I don't like tea. I don't like coffee. I like chamomile tea. I've told the management 100 times, but do they get chamomile tea in for me? Oh, no. And with that, she turned on her heel and walked out of the kitchen. Well, Emily thought to herself, what an idiot. And then she caught herself and she thought again. And a little smile appeared onto her face. And she buttoned up her coat. And she crossed over the office and went to the elevator, because it was America, so not a lift. And she went down the elevator and walked through the lobby, because it was America, so not a reception. She went out onto the sidewalk, because it was America and not the pavement, and walked all the way up to a store, because it was America and not a shop. And there she picked up a box of chamomile tea, which is the same in both places. She bought the chamomile tea. She walked all the way back to the up the side, out of the store, up the sidewalk, across the lobby, up the elevator, and bypassed her desk, walked over to this woman's desk, and there stood in front of the desk and presented her with this box with a smile on her face. And this woman stood up in a state of shock, and in a moment of uncharacteristic unguardedness, there in front of the entire rest of the office, embraced little Emily and began to weep her heart out in response to simple love. Father God has a vision for us. Father God has a vision for you in your workplace. Father God wants you to be fruitful for him on that front line. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for humans, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So let's pray. I'm going to invite you to stand. I'm going to invite the worship band to return. We're going to pray. We're going to worship. We're going to pray. How about that for a plan?